What's up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles Podcast, episode 81 on July 11th, 2021. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, aka your best friend, aka your dreamin' drive, Michael.
your dreamin' drive?
Dreamin' drive, you know.
What does that even mean?
You'll find out once we start talking about games we're playing. The voice across from me over here, though, Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero.
Yeah, shout out to those people in Ohio that are apparently listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's such a weird state to be. Because I don't know anybody.
Whoa, hey, now.
Not saying it's like a, in terms of, I don't know anybody in Ohio.
Oh, I gotcha, okay.
You don't know any, that I know that you know anybody in Ohio.
So. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I can't think of anyone that I know for sure is in Ohio. But thanks, Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, just thanks for the listens. Also, you know what, too? Let's just throw it out there. Thanks, Russia, you know?
Yeah.
I did see that Russia pops on there sometimes. I think Fiji's popped up there. And yep. I was like, you know what? That's the coolest thing ever.
Ireland.
You know? Ireland, yep. Yeah, I think Ireland and the UK have been up there, like, pretty consistently, too. So, like, oh, thanks, guys, you know? It's a real pleasure
to be
all over the place, you know? We got an email from Jonathan something over there calling us mates and whatnot.
Yeah, there you go.
So.
Totally a real email.
Yeah, totally a real non-spam email over here. It's so weird. We were just talking about this a little bit ago, how the, randomly, like, we'll occasionally get spam. And I think we maybe have said this before, but, like, you know, once you get spam in your podcast email, that's how you know you made it, you know?
It's true.
You've reached enough people where they're like, hey, we should probably start spamming these people over here with the podcast email, you know?
Little do you know, we're actually the influences of the big video game podcast people out there, like Kind of Funny
of course.
Bon Wave and all that stuff.
Yeah, Gamertag Radio.
Yep,
yeah,
yep, yep.
It's not like they have like thousands of episodes or anything.
Yeah. It's all lies.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically like that movie Inception. We like planted the seed there and then came out like later and we're just like, you know what, we got this.
It'll be fine. We're actually the reasons for Inception, so
it
all ties in.
Wow, we incepted the movie Inception, which then tells people about the Inception.
Even know the director's name. Can't think of it. Christopher Nolan. Yep, there we go.
Oh, is that Christopher Nolan? Okay,
yeah, that is
okay.
Christopher Nolan.
That sounds fair. All right. How you doing today, Michael?
Good. Mm-hmm. It's the weekend, but it's a Sunday, so.
Yeah. I know, Sunday. Man, it's weird because now I work Saturdays, so Sunday is like my day off on the weekend, and then I'll have like, you know, a day during the week off as well,
right?
But it's gonna be weird going back to like a non 2-day weekend, like two consecutive day weekends.
So do you have Sunday and Monday off, or is it just Sunday you have off?
No, so I have Sunday off, and then I'll be off some other time during the week, basically.
Oh, okay, so it's
split up, so I'll be off a day, work like a few days, off a day, work a few days.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. So yeah. Man. Not my most favorite kind of schedule,
yeah.
But I'm getting into the swing of things.
That's true.
It'll be just fine, I think.
Doctor's life, man.
Yeah, doctor's life, you know. Gotta go where the patients need you, you know.
It's true.
But as you guys may have heard before, if you're a returning listener and if you're a new listener, hello. This is a video game podcast where we talk about all kinds of things that happen during the week. Sometimes news, sometimes we just go on and on about games we've been playing. This week's kind of light in the news, so you know what we're talking about. But let's just kind of we'll do the news first, and then we'll just swing back around to what we've been playing, because that'll kind of be, I think, the bulk of things there.
I like that format.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to shake it up, you know. It's like a man. What's that? I guess it's like a shake weight. There's some kind of, you know, there was some kind of seasoning, right, that you'd put like in a bag and then you shake the bag.
Oh, the ramen.
Is that?
Yeah, you know, you ever do that when you crumple up the ramen in the pack?
Yeah, like the dry ramen.
Dry ramen, and then pour the seasoning.
The dramen,
yeah, exactly. It just made up a name. And then you shake it up and you just eat it like that.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I thought of.
So I definitely know of that because I've done that in the past.
It's delicious.
I don't think I can do that anymore in my now like adult 30-year-old body.
It would
I don't think I can.
Massive constipation probably.
Oh yeah, I'd probably get way too bad with like the heartburn, cholesterol and stuff. But in terms of like, I swear there was some other kind of like, maybe it's just general food. You can just put a bunch of seasoning in like a bag and throw like a chicken in there and then shake it up and it goes like that. I was thinking of something dry that was maybe like fries or something, you know? Does that sound familiar at all? Is that a thing?
Nope.
Maybe
it was just something you did and then you're like placing it on something.
That's quite possible also. Yeah, so maybe it's just that. But, You know, I mean, man, where was I even going with this?
No idea.
The food tangent it threw me off on. I don't know. Let's talk about. Oh, shaking things up. That's what
there
it was.
You go.
We're talking about video game news first, everybody.
It's a full circle.
Full circle. So this past week, we got a couple things that we thought would be cool to bring up. The first one, you know, we had rumors of new Switch model coming out, swirling around for quite a while. A lot of people thinking it was going to be the Switch Pro. Not us, though, Michael.
No,
right?
Not at all.
We didn't think that at all.
I didn't for one second.
We all thought it, probably. If anything, we all hoped that was the case.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was not the case. So the new Switch model that's going to be coming out, I don't know if they've said what it's called.
It is literally called the Nintendo Switch OLED model.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just called. It's just called the OLED model.
Yep.
But yeah, so the new Switch is much like the old Switch in, you know, the fact that it's not going to be this crazy like 4K machine or whatever, adding extra, you know, what do you call those things? Teraflops and all that stuff.
Teraflops and power.
Yeah, no extra power. It's basically the same like processor and whatnot, which means the battery life is the same. It's a little bit of a bigger screen, so now it's a 7-inch OLED screen. The screen itself, you know, being OLED is a little bit of an upgrade from just the regular, I think it's like an LCD screen right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a larger kickstand because, nice. Let me just be the first person to say this probably ever on a podcast.
Ever.
The Switch kickstand, OG, man, it sucks.
It does suck.
It's super awful.
It's like they're making, it's like, oh, what can we put here? They found a random piece of plastic. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, what's the cheapest piece of plastic and spring that we could put on here that would make this thing stand up on its own? Oh, yeah, this thing over here? Yeah, let's do that. Also, like, I don't know why they felt like the best idea for this was for it to be, like, off to one side.
Yeah.
Because, like, mechanically, that can't be great for the
no.
arm itself, right?
I think they probably wanted to, obviously, because it's a cover for your memory card, too.
Oh,
so they were probably like, oh, we need to find something to cover this. Oh, let's do like a kickstand as well. Great idea.
Yeah, you know, now that you say that, I totally forgot that's where that goes as well. That sucks.
It makes sense, but it's not the best thought out.
Yeah, like. In terms of like, I mean, yeah, like, you know, honestly, like no one would have cared if they had put that in like smack dab in the middle and made
not
it
at
a
all.
Little bit larger. Like no one would have cared.
It would have made it stand better too if it was in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't be scared of like accidentally like, you know, nudging this thing and having it fall over or something during a game.
Yep.
But now it's going to have a bigger kickstand there, which is nice. A little bit bigger storage, too. Also nice, you know, in the day and age where lots of games are just super large. So now instead of being 32 gigabytes internal storage, it'll have 64. So they upgraded that a little bit.
Nice.
And then that's pretty much it. That's the main
thing. And it's white.
It's kind of switching.
It's white.
It's white. Well, okay, so it's like you can get the white version, which is cool. Like
yep.
It's got, you know, just all white finish on it. The Joy-Cons are white. The dock, I think, is white as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's like that matte kind of white, I think, right? But
is it matte or is it matte?
I think just matte.
Okay.
Like, yeah, in terms of that stuff. When you started that sentence, I thought you were asking me, like, if it's actually matte, like, finish.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Like, I was like, I think it is, but I don't know anymore. But you can get that version, or you can also get the one that's, like, the red and blue.
Yeah.
Kind of like the standard thing there, but, you know. You want some of that newer stuff if you're going to be paying the newer price of $350, you know? So.
I was watching, because I've recently been listening to the Games Beat Decides podcast with Jeff Grubb and Mike Minotti.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a very good podcast.
You should listen to
it. They were talking about the price increase, and Jeff was saying he basically thinks it's because since the Switch has sold so incredibly well,
yeah.
Even 4 years later, Nintendo's like, oh, we can get away with this.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hike it up $50 more and people will still buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually we'll run or phase out the original model, and this will be our base model. But
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, they're trying, and they probably will succeed at it.
yeah, unfortunately. I mean, like, you know, really what this needs to be is that if people still believe that a pro, you know, quote unquote pro model is coming in the future, they just need to like double down and be like, nah, we ain't buying this thing.
Yeah, no.
So then Nintendo will be like, okay, I get it. Maybe this is now $300 and the old one's gone, and be like, okay, maybe now we look at it, you know? But I mean, that's the thing too, is we talked about this a little bit just like via text and stuff. When I think, yeah, after we had first like both like heard the news and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And personally for me, because my Switch is working fine, besides my kickstand being super broken since like a year, sometime in the first year that I had the Switch, the thing broke.
Right.
And just like, you know, it still holds the thing up if I want it to, but in order to kind of like bring it back in, it has that kind of, it doesn't click in all the way, which is super annoying. It just annoys me. So I've literally had a piece of scotch tape across the back of my kickstand just on there for like years now.
When in doubt, tape is your best friend.
Yeah, yeah. As I did scotch tape specifically because like duct tape would have worked way better.
Oh, it would have.
But
it would have been probably ripped off the paint too because exactly. It's so strong.
I need to make sure that I can actually take this off occasionally if I do want the kickstand out, which I usually don't, but who knows if I'll need it, you know? But it's like, because, you know, the thing is working fine just in general, I'm like, well, if a new model that's actually improved in terms of like processing and graphics and stuff does come out, then I'm probably going to buy that instead. So I don't have a problem waiting, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who do buy it just because they're like, hey, it's new and shiny. Let's do it. And Michael's raising his hand over here. What do you think of Michael?
I definitely should normally, I should side with you, and that there's literally no need for me about it. My Switch works fine. There's slight drift on one of the,
The Joy-Cons?
One of the Joy-Cons.
Oh, no.
But I would say I use my Switch 60-40 docked and 40% handheld.
Oh, okay.
So the screen and the backstand would be really nice. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten to this just collector mindset of just wanting to collect video game stuff and consoles and stuff.
I gotcha.
But it will come down to money, and if I don't have the money for it, I'm not getting it.
Yeah, if you don't have the money, that's the end of that.
Yeah, completely.
Just go to the store and be like, sir, I'm just trying to collect this. Yeah. Like, I don't have the money, but...
Can you just give it to me?
I'll just take it on credit.
Oh, God, no.
That's a Raya joke right there, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you see Raya? Did you see Raya the Last Dragon? Did you see that movie?
No.
That's the Disney movie. Oh, I'll show you it later.
Wait, Raya the Last Dragon?
Yeah, I think it's called Raya the Last Dragon. We're going on a tangent here. It's a movie about this girl Raya who is kind of like the guardian.
Oh, the animated one.
Yeah.
No, I have. I want to though.
Oh man, that one's good. What was the other movie that we just saw recently too on Luca? Disney? Luca. Yeah,
oh, Pixar so one. Good. Yeah, that one's I've so heard good. That's very good too.
Okay, so back on track. So the Switch. So you're thinking if you have the money, it's a purchase, right?
If I have the money and I already have a next-gen console of some kind, the Xbox or the PlayStation, then I will be more likely to buy this new Switch.
Okay, yeah.
But if none of those happen, I more than likely will just wait.
Gotcha. Yeah, and that makes sense because if you think about it, like $350 versus $500 on like a next-gen console kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're like only $150 away from the purchase price. So it's like, ooh, that's another thing too, where I'm like, that's a hard sell.
It is
like,
a hard sell. Completely.
Hard sell, I think, for most people, if you're thinking about it as like, oh, it's the newest Switch, but also I don't have the newest like PS5 or the Xbox Series X. And it's like, I want maybe all of these.
Yeah.
And I got to choose one. It's like, well, why would I choose the Switch if it's basically the same as the old Switch?
Exactly. Via,
like a small other thing. So it's a tough sell, but Nintendo is known for weird decisions. So.
And it will probably work in their favor.
Man, yeah. It's weird to think where I'm just like, I hope this just doesn't work because right. I don't want this to be a weird like new precedent for them.
And to be fair, it's not like this is a new thing Nintendo's done. They've done this with the you can almost say the Game Boy Advance and the DS and the 3DS. They always come out with a newer version that's not really new. It's just slightly upgraded. And then they eventually come out with a better model.
Yeah, like so a successor.
Yeah, so it's, so this isn't like Nintendo's just throwing this out of the blue. It's worked in the past. I mean, it's been their MO for years, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like in the past when it was like going from the Game Boy Advance to then like the SP or something like that, those are pretty big like differences in terms of just, I mean, obviously they play the same games, but the style was pretty crazy different. Like now you could actually protect your screen, didn't have to carry around some kind of like carrying case like a madman.
Right.
But yeah, then in terms of like, you know, the DSs and stuff, right? Like, you know, size changes, slight screen changes. Obviously, price changes. These are things that Nintendo
and
does.
There's the Nintendo 3DS and the Nintendo DSi, which was just a slight upgrade, which is so.
Nintendo makes money off this stuff.
They do. So they completely do.
Yeah, I'm just like, man, because the DSs were never over the $200 mark. I don't believe, right?
I can't remember.
I don't think they ever passed that. And so that's where this is starting to become more of a bigger leap, yeah. I think, because like the Switch, $300 for like the base thing, and then going up to $350 for, you know, then the newer Switch, right, the OLED model. It's like, ooh, that's getting tough. Once you're starting to jump and you're in already the $300 range, then it's like, ooh, you're maybe pushing it, but we'll see how it turns out, I guess.
Okay, so the DS was $150.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But when they introduced the 3DS, the introductory price in the US was $249.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so never quite reached that 300, but I think that's probably a good reason for that.
Yeah, it is a good reason.
I don't know if you could essentially do that for a 3DS.
Yeah, especially a portable.
Yeah,
that would be really pushing it.
Yeah, the idea that this can do like more console quality kind of stuff makes it like possible, but
yeah. Still.
We'll see how it, I mean, and that's the thing too, is like we say we'll see, but if it's not doing well, we're not going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Like Nintendo's not going to release the numbers for it. It's going to be like, man, the Switch family sold like millions of consoles. Yeah, it's going to
generalize everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, well, whatever, Nintendo. Yeah. But besides that piece of news, other piece of news that we had was there was a Sony State of Play on Thursday.
Yes, there was.
Now, kind of overall here, Michael, before we kind of go into it, how did you enjoy everything? What would you rate it if you had to give it like a letter grade?
See, I don't know if I would rate this because this was a weird one to me, because they basically said at the beginning or earlier what they were going to show, basically.
Yeah.
9 minutes of Deathloop, some updates on indie games and stuff and all that.
Yeah, third party stuff.
Yeah. So when I watched it, It was a fine presentation. I would say a lot of it wasn't for me. Like
games
and stuff.
The games themselves.
And then the 9 minute Deathloop thing. I don't need to be sold on Deathloop personally anymore. I'm gonna buy it. So
yeah.
Seeing another one, I'm like, okay, I've seen this before. But overall it was okay. It did its job. It highlighted indie games, new ones and stuff that I didn't hear about before. Mm-hmm. But I think this one almost felt very random to me.
Yeah. Like, yeah. In terms of like the games themselves that were in there, it did kind of feel just like a shotgun blast.
Almost like we have our main Deathloop thing. We want, what games can we show right now to make this a little longer? Yeah. Got this one, this one, this one. See if who's getting delayed. Let's throw that in there. Nothing against those games or whatnot, but it felt like, I don't want to say this wasn't needed, but for some reason I was getting those vibes. Like,
yeah, it's almost, and not in the sense of it being like what it might sound like what I'm about to say, but like it's almost like a Russian roulette kind of thing where like you put all these games in the chamber and then kind of like spin it and you're just like, all right, whichever ones come out of the thing is what we'll show. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, that's it's an interesting like smattering of games there.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go through what they showed there. So the first one that they brought up was Moss Book 2. One, I'm not a fan of the name. It's a weird name.
You like, played the original one, right?
I played some of it. Okay. I want to go through and finish it, but it's VR and just getting the headset set up and everything. It's a whole ordeal at this point.
Bad start for me.
The thing that you might like though is that like I feel like you could actually play Moss.
Right.
Because the VR, like way that it is VR in this game and stuff, is that you're not actually moving. You're just kind of in a static place. You're watching like a scene in front of you, and then you can control Quill, the mouse, and everything.
Okay.
So that being the case, like you wouldn't get motion sick from this. Basically, it's just kind of like you can move a little bit to move yourself around to kind of see around like some obstacles sometimes if you want to, but you don't really ever need to.
Right.
So that's why it's kind of a more good VR game to try if you kind of get motion sick pretty easily. So that was announced there. Thought that was a cute kind of cool thing to find out as getting a sequel and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Followed up by Arcadeageddon, which I think the presentation for this wasn't great, in my opinion. Really had no idea what this game was about.
I didn't either.
Until looking up, I think like later on, like about this game, and I was like, oh, I guess this makes more sense now that I understand a little bit. Because you just see a bunch of like really colorful characters and stuff, you know, your character's like shooting things, and then there's like some PvP stuff in there. It's some kind of like online game, as well as offline. But then also, it went into early access starting that day, and I was like, okay, that's cool. Went over to the store and it's like $20, and I was like, man, I am not buying an early access game, guys. Like, if it's early access, just let me play it. Like, that's ridiculous.
This was the one that also kind of reminded me of. It almost looked like a mix between like Knockout City, like there are versions of like Knockout City, just
just with guns. Yeah. So the premise of this game is supposed to be that like this guy's arcade is being closed down. And in some kind of like attempt to save things, he basically like hooks together a whole bunch of these different game cabinets in his arcade and creates this like mega game mosh kind of thing. And that's why the worlds are kind of like all these combined things and whatnot. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. But in the trailer, you get none of that.
No, you don't.
Like, I see this dude who's looking kind of crazy, you know, things flashing lights and stuff. And then it starts jumping between scenes of gameplay. And I'm just like, weird way to show this thing off, but you know, now it's available if you want to try it.
Yep.
Then we got Tribes of Midgard again.
Seen this before multiple times.
So many
this
times.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, it was just like, what can we show in this conference to
fill it honestly, this, it's a weird one that's being like shown so much.
Yeah.
Because like the game looks fine. But
I know do you watch Easy Allies?
I know who they are. I've never seen them.
Okay. I watched them a good amount of times, and a couple of them are pretty excited for it.
Okay. I mean,
I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I wonder where.
Yeah, where the excitement comes from and stuff. Yeah, like I think it's a weird thing where the feel of it, because it's what's called going around like fighting these creatures and stuff. It just reminds me of like other games like Diablo and stuff like that, but. It's not like one, I'm not ever super, super into that genre, but also it's just like the color scheme that they've gone with and stuff, and the somewhat cartoony look that they have for it. It's not like grabbing me.
Does it almost look, this might come off mean, I don't want to say mean, but I haven't played the game, like almost comes off generic a little bit.
Kind of, yeah, it kind of does, yeah. And that's one of the things where I'm just like, yeah, it doesn't feel like a, I don't know. If you look at a game and you get excited for it, you know that feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. I don't look at it and I'm like, oh man, I want to play this. I want to try this out, kind of thing. I'm just like, yeah, like it gives me. I'm trying to think of a good way to explain this. So when I watch games sometimes I can almost feel like I'm playing it, you know, like you can kind of like feel the impact of like combat or something inside of a game and whatnot. Usually based off of like the sounds and stuff alone from trailers, and watching this, I'm never like feeling like, oh yeah, this combat is pretty like
good.
It seems like it's going to be fun to play. It just looks like it's kind of like I'm hitting buttons and then they're doing stuff on screen.
Right.
But you don't get that kind of like reaction. Like you're actually in combat. It's just like you're playing a game basically. Which is going to sound weird to people that are listening. You're like, that's all you guys do is talk about playing games.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
just like, guys, it's not the same though.
It's a hard thing to explain.
Yeah, it's tough to explain. But yeah, it's just not, it's not the greatest thing. And we keep seeing it everywhere. That's the other thing too, is it's just everywhere. Luckily, it's coming out on July 27th, so we won't have to hear about it after that.
There you hopefully. Go.
then the next one, another weird one, Hunter's Arena Legends is what it's called. Found out that it's going to be a... PS Plus game when it comes out in August, which is cool. Because if it wasn't PS Plus, I don't know if I would play this.
I don't think I'm gonna play this either way.
I think I'm gonna try it out, because you guys know me, I always get all the PS Plus games. But it was just a weird thing where I'm just like, okay, like I thought this was the other game, Naraka Blade Point.
Oh yeah.
And then when I was just watching and whatnot, I was like, wait, this is a different game? This is not the same thing? And then because they're talking about is, you know, realistic-ish looking like characters, and then you have like, you know, melee combat in a battle arena type of thing, or what's that called? A battle royale type of setting.
So
and I was like, this is like Naraka Blade Point though. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you guys all making the same game over here? It's like, I know this comes in waves sometimes, but like when a wave of games comes in and they're all wanting to make something that's like Left 4 Dead. And now it's apparently all these ones that are like melee combat battle arena type things. And I'm just like, very weird how these things are all coming at the same time, yep. You know?
They go what's ever popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. But after that one, we got another look at Fist Forged in Shadow Torch.
Which... See, I don't remember this.
Really?
Game. Yeah, I don't know. I was watching this like, and I was watching the kind of funny thing after. I'm like, mm-hmm. They know what this is, or Blessing does. And I'm like, I don't remember this game.
Yeah, no, I remember this, because I thought this one looked interesting, at least. It looks like a kind of like B-tier indie game in terms of like its like 2D kind of like action platformy kind of stuff. But I thought it looked interesting for like early life of like next-gen console kind of things. Granted, this is going to be available on PS4 and PS5 as well as like PC, but we got a date for it, which is cool. So September 7th, which is when it's coming out. And... Yeah, it's like it was one that they've shown like a long while ago and then like nothing,
yeah.
Right? And then like seeing it come back, I was like, "Oh, nice. Here's this thing again. And now we know when it's coming out." So I am excited to try this out. This combat looks better than the Tribes of Midgard.
Yes, one,
which I think is now another way where you can compare. If you go and watch the trailers for these things, you can kind of tell just by looking at the different things where it's like, "Okay, this looks like it feels good. The other one doesn't really have an impact kind of thing." And then, I think this was actually one of the stars of the show, Sifu. Got another trailer from Sifu. Very cool, getting to see kind of the aging mechanic in there and stuff, or more of it, because we've seen it before. But we actually got to see the years like flashing by on the screen. It made me worry a little bit, because it wasn't like 1 year each time. It was like maybe like a couple years, and then like 4 years, and then like 7 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude. Like,
I'm going to die in like the first level. I'm going to die of old age real quick.
Oh man. But yeah, it's super cool. You know, kind of getting to see the combat again. Like this one, combat looks pretty good. I get a little bit worried because of, I don't know, maybe it's just the art style makes me feel like it's possible that the game won't, so like when I think of the combat like feel being kind of like at its peak and stuff, I think of like Batman, like the Arkham games and stuff. Those ones have that really good impact kind of like sound along with like the visuals and stuff to make you really feel like you're feeling it. And even like, you know, things like Rumble and stuff in there too. Sifu strikes me as a game that could come close to it but not like reach that full potential kind of thing, but I do want to play this. Want to play this real bad.
That's interesting. God, do you think like, would you still be fine with like it not reaching that? Because I feel like games don't have to reach that perfection point all the time.
Oh no, yeah, for sure. And it's just like I think it's just the idea of like if it's out there in the world where you can reach this, like, I mean, because like even the Arkham games, it's not like perfect or anything, but it's like, you know, it's like one of the top tier kind of things when I think of it. I think they could reach that, and if they fall below it, it's, you know, if it's just a little bit below, it's not that bad of being off that way. But I think when I played a little bit of Absolver, which was their game before this one, that one didn't quite reach that level either. It was like just below it kind of thing. And I think it's just like, I just want all games to reach that, you know, because then it's just, it's a win-win for everybody, right?
Harder than said than done, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It's because it's an interesting like phenomena where like the sound plus, like, you know, when you add in like Rumble and stuff, obviously that helps, but the actual sound you get from like the game at the time of impact, like during fight scenes and whatnot, is what gives you that feeling of like, oh, this is actually happening. If there was like no sound and whatnot, and you don't have any rumble and everything's there, I think like a good example of that phenomenon is like a Pong, right, where it's like white paddles, dark background or whatever, and the ball is the same color as the thing.
Yep.
If you have a, you know, like the, what do they call it? If you had like a line down the middle, right? And the ball was just kind of going like through there and whatnot. Is that the right thing? Yeah, it's like basically like if you, oh, okay, that's the thing. So imagine you have, okay, like I just said, right? Like imagine you have a, like a square so that there's like a border, right? Like walls around it.
Right.
There's like two balls in the middle and they're kind of going like diagonally, right? So they're kind of going, they both start from the corners, go towards the middle, and then, you know, obviously just keep on going back and forth like that. If you have no sound there and you're just watching it, it looks like, I think to most people, basically just looks like the balls kind of just, you know, pass through each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea, is because without the sound there, you don't get that sense of there being any kind of like contact for these things.
Right.
And then when the sound is turned on and you have like the sound of like, you know, like a dook or something like that, it's where the balls look like they're going to actually hit each other. then you actually get the perception that the balls are kind of bouncing off each other rather than going through each other. And so that kind of thing is applied to like video games and stuff, where it's like if you hear that sound at the appropriate time and everything, and you add in things like rumble and stuff, it makes it feel like the combat is like, you know, visceral and everything.
Right.
Now, enough of all that stuff. That's all like sciencey things. Sifu itself, though, sad news is that it was delayed to next year. So originally they were saying 2021. They had a cool graphic that brought it over to like early 2022. But when that happened, I was just like, no, so sad, man.
Take all the time they need, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Get as good as they can.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Obviously, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where I know everybody says it to like, you know, because we want them to not have to stress about making these things, but I'm always like sad when a thing is delayed.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I'm never like accepting like, yeah, that's fine kind of thing. I'm always just like, no, that sucks.
I'm
like,
sure the developers don't want to delay a game, so they're probably sad too, obviously.
But after Sifu, we got to see another look at Jet the Far Shore, which has been like missing for a long time now. I think that one was also shown the same time as Fist as well. I think that was at the same showcase when this one was shown off. And then still no date.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
Very strange. I'm a little worried about this one because it still says 2021, but we're in like the last half of the year now, guys. And
how much time do you have left?
Ooh, yeah. Also, like how many more times do you think you're actually going to show up somewhere? Sure. You know, like this doesn't seem like something that has like another trailer in it, you know, like this is not like a like Deathloop type thing apparently, because Deathloop keeps on having trailers. So it's weird to think that they don't have a date for this already, just like how I wouldn't expect Fist to come up more than twice in showcases. So interesting that there's nothing yet, but maybe this will just be relegated to like a blog post or something like that.
Could be,
which, you know, is kind of sad when if you think about it that way, but I guess it happens.
Sony and their indies.
Yeah. that great indie support over there. Then we had it was interesting to see this show up, Demon Slayer the Hinokami Chronicles. I
didn't see this coming.
Oh yeah, definitely did not. I assumed this was all going to be indie stuff, and this was very much like just a regular third party kind of thing here.
One of the most popular animes in the last couple of years.
yeah and I wouldn't say because of this like video game kind of thing, but I keep seeing this on Netflix when I open it up and stuff. And I was just like, you know what? Let's start watching this thing.
There you go.
So I did the first episode. Let's see. Did I watch the second episode? I don't know if I watched the second one, but I've seen, I think, at least the first episode, maybe the second episode now. I don't remember. No, yeah, I've seen two episodes. That's what it is. And I'm liking it. I'm liking it.
I've heard it's fantastic. The art style and the action scenes are like,
oh yeah,
top notch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real cool. Like I always enjoy, you know, the like specific like anime like fight scene kind of stuff, and this one is kind of giving me vibes of kind of like Naruto a little bit.
Yeah,
it kind of gives me vibes of that, but a lot more like
crispen.
Sword play and crispness. Yeah. But also it's like more crispness and also like more cartooniness, because then I know the game itself looks really cartoony, but the actual show, I think from seeing the opening scenes and whatnot, it actually looks like that as well. So I was like, okay, this is a cool like art style they have going on here. And then after that one, we had Lost Judgment show up a little bit.
Oh man, oh baby. This is the highlight of the show for me.
Yeah. Tell me all about Lost Judgment.
Oh, this will be the game in September that I will, I'm going to have to relegate Tales of Arise to the side. I'll probably still get it, but Lost Judgment will be taking up most of my time.
Yeah.
God, these games are going to be... I'm hopeful that, because I enjoyed Lost Judgment, the first one, not Lost Judgment, the first one,
yeah,
so much, it was contender for Game of the Year for me that year.
Wow, okay.
So I'm hoping this one looks like there's more in the game, dancing and more investigative stuff, darker story, singing, and
a little Shiba Inu that goes and bites people's hands.
Exactly.
And stuff.
I'm hopeful this could be my game of the year.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool to see if that was the case. Because I think it was just certain times when the like speaking was going on, because it was all in English and stuff. Certain times when like the speaking was happening, it was throwing me off a little bit, just because the mouth was really wide open on some of these shots. And I think it's just maybe made for like some of the Japanese.
Probably. Put it together.
Yeah, but still, man, like the gameplay of this looks incredible. There was a scene in there where what's the character's name? Yagami?
Yeah, right? Yagami.
Okay, so Yagami like flips some dude against a wall or something, and then like three or four like quick punches to like his chest while this dude's upside down falling down towards the ground. This is really cool.
The combat in this is much, I don't want to say much more, but it is very fluid compared to the Yakuza games, like the mainline. Like those ones are more like brute and heavy. These ones are like quick and acrobatic. Good.
It looks really cool. And there's going to be three fighting styles this time around, right? Because there was two before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this looks like a really cool kind of like mixture of all these like new things they're adding in there. So I like it quite a lot.
Ryuga Gotoku. What they're doing.
Ryuga Gotoku. There you go.
Thank you. You said it better than I did.
Okay. After that, we got to see a little bit more of Death Stranding Director's Cut. We got the release date also coming out in September. September and October are just way too full of games right now, Michael.
Too full.
And then Deathloop. 9 minutes of Deathloop, Michael. Have you seen enough Deathloop now?
I've seen enough Deathloop prior to this.
Yeah, I know. The last time when they had that trailer, I was like, okay. Like, this one finally got me in, and now I don't need to see anymore. And then they're just like, hey, guys, here's another 9-minute trailer. And I'm like, oh, please stop.
Like, it looks fantastic. It's Dishonored, but different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an upgraded Dishonored with, like, cool 60s, 70s vibes and all that. But it's weird, because Jeff Grove brought this up, too. He's like, I'm curious to why Sony keeps showing this game. They're not going to get that exclusive.
The exclusive
ends in a year, and I won't be theirs anymore.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't know why they keep showing this game over and over.
I kind of wonder if they keep showing this one, because you notice too that like this and I think Ghostwire Tokyo were announced at the same time or during the same showcase, basically. You notice we haven't gotten anything from Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah, nothing.
It's been totally silent. But both of these games are Bethesda games, and both going to be exclusive for a year or whatever when they come out on PlayStation. And I'm just like, man, the fact that I don't know if it was that, you know, Deathloop got pushed, and so therefore, like, there's no room for Ghostwire Tokyo in their minds kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think before it was rumored that Ghostwire Tokyo was possibly coming in October. I think based off of listings on the end of some kind of like screen grab that people had or something. And it showed like October 2021 for that game. But we haven't seen anything from it. And I'm just like, no, this game is totally going to be coming out next year. Yeah. And they're just not. I'm assuming they keep showing Deathloop because they don't have anything to show for Ghostwire Tokyo.
Probably,
at this point.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's weird. That game has like, I know they showed one more trailer after, but ever since What's Her Face left. The super awesome.
What's her name? Ikumi Nakamura.
Once she left that.
Yeah. I don't know, nothing. Man. Yeah, just total ghost silence for the bad pun over there. Oh,
they
man.
Disappeared like a ghost, you know?
Yeah, there you go. I'm just like, I don't know what to do with that over there. I know they're not the same exact like studios working on these things, but they're both Bethesda properties, you know? And I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, let's hear some more about something else. We know Deathloop's going to be pretty
don't
cool,
keep
probably.
Shoving it down our throats.
I know, man. I'm like, okay, I like a good bacon cheeseburger, but I don't want it every single time we have one of these conferences. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, give me a different item on the menu, please, Bethesda.
When I go to a restaurant, I don't get the same thing every single time, unless it's fantastic, and that's very rare.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, I don't know. I was gonna say like maybe something like a Zelda game, like, you know, the next Breath of the Wild. Like, maybe they could keep showing me trailer after trailer.
Hollow Knight Silk Song, I would eat that up like nobody's business. God of War, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's like I was thinking about it as I was about to say it, and I was like, actually, no, I don't even think that would work for me.
Oh, really?
Like,
yeah.
Because like I thought about it, and I was like, okay, maybe Zelda could do it, but then you said God of War, and I was like, nah. If God of War showed me like three or four trailers, I'd be like, nah, stop it already.
That's a fair point.
Because very story focused.
Sure, you don't want to ruin anything.
Yeah, I feel like the only reason you can show so many Deathloop trailers is because it's really about showing off the like arsenal you kind of have to work with. It's not as much about, like, because we're not really getting more and more story beats.
No.
we're getting just like more scenes of gameplay, which is just, you know, your character zooming around the map with your blink skill. I'm gonna call it blink until they tell me what it's actually called.
Dishonored blink, basically.
Yeah, yeah, that's why. It's like keep zooming around the map with your blink skill, you know, shooting like nails at people with a nail gun, and maybe you steal someone's like regular shotgun and things, and you just keep getting to see all these different combinations of the way they're using the powers. But now we're starting to reuse them, because, you know, he throws a dude up in the air and then throws him off a cliff kind of thing, and I'm just like, okay, we've seen this already.
Yeah,
like,
let's... do we need this gameplay?
Yeah, it's like, we don't need it, guys. It's okay, we know Deathloop's coming.
Yeah,
we're gonna probably pick it up, but I don't know, man. Another weird thing too is that this one, it's pretty rare, I would say, compared to like other platforms like Xbox and especially Nintendo, to see games being available for pre-order with a discount. Deathloop's been available for a 10% discount for like months.
Really?
Like a long, long time now. And I see it every time I go in the store, because it's like, hey, you want pre-order Deathloop? And I'm like, maybe. Sure. I'll pick it up later. But it's like, it's always $53.99 instead of the full $60.
Maybe Sony really wants to sell this game as much as they can before maybe they don't have it anymore.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, it's interesting that they are like pushing this so hard kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird almost. But yeah, but that was the end of that state of play though. Overall, I mean, Michael said he thought it was okay.
Yep.
I think I'm kind of right there too, you know? Yeah. It was some weird choices in there, some things I'm just like, yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah.
And then we got some cool things in there too. Now, Michael... now we're gonna go in the rewind machine over here. So everybody be kind while we rewind.
Oh, it's a good movie.
I don't think I've seen that movie. Oh, it's so good. But what you been playing, Michael?
So I've been in a weird JRPG kick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say weird because I love JRPGs.
Yeah, yeah.
But I finished Yeast 8.
Oh, nice, nice.
This one.
Were you close when?
No.
Okay, I was gonna say.
I was kind of close, but I was like a good 12 hours still away.
Yeah, I was gonna say that because like when you told me that you thought you were close, I was like, I don't know.
I forget if you are. These are kind of like the Tales games where you think it could end, but it goes on.
Yeah, it's like you reach the crescendo of one thing, and then you realize there's another valley.
And there's another, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was in a good way. You say it is a fantastic, fantastic game. And I want to say, I think playing this game made me realize something.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it last week, how when we buy games, you really don't get that hype anymore after like that first initial release and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I've started to like grown into like, I can still go back into the game and still get excited for this. I think this solidified it for me. Because playing this game, I was as excited as playing a game that just released. Like, I would go to bed, I'm like, man, I just want to play this the next day.
Yeah.
I am like really, really into this. And I think I've gotten to the point where I'm okay with not buying games that I'm excited for right away. Hence, I haven't bought Monster Hunter Stories 2.
Oh,
I was excited for that.
They have the demo, you know.
They do have the demo. I haven't even tried that yet, but I'm like, okay, I can wait on this. I'll still want to play it down the line and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my backlog. I'm like, I still have all these games that I think I'm actually excited to play. So I think I'm at that point where unless I'm really excited for the game, say like Judgment or maybe Tales of Arise, or if like Silksong comes out, like really excited, I'll get it day one and initially and stuff. And the other exception, fighting games, because if you don't get a fighting game within the first month, that player base drops down and then people get really good and you missed out on that.
Yeah.
So those are the exceptions. But I think I'm okay with missing those release windows for games that I'm like, oh, this could be fun kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, that
which is interesting.
That makes sense, yeah.
But after that, I also jumped into the collection of Mana,
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, man, I have all these JRPGs I can play. I want to. So I jumped into that, and I booted up the first one, which is called Final Fantasy Adventure. Now, I had no idea what this was. I was super confused. I'm like, I didn't know there was a Final Fantasy Adventure. So apparently, I'll give you the rundown here. There were two Final Fantasy games released in North America on the Game Boy.
Yes.
There was Final Fantasy Adventure, and then Final Fantasy Legends 2.
Yes.
So for some reason, they decided to slap the name Final Fantasy on both of these games, even though neither really have anything to do with Final Fantasy at all.
Yeah.
It said basically they slapped the name on it because it's a well-known property and they're hoping to get more sales out of it.
Yep, yep.
In actuality, Final Fantasy Legends and Final Fantasy Legends 2 is actually the first Saga game and then the second Saga game.
Yeah.
And then Final Fantasy Adventure is the first Mana game, which in Japan is called Seiken Densetsu. Did I say that right?
Seiken Densetsu.
Thank you.
Right? Yeah.
In Japan. But also, the subtitle in the Japanese one is also Seiken Densetsu Final Fantasy Gaiden.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Which is another weird thing. Weird, yeah. And then even in Europe, they called Final Fantasy Adventure Mystic Quest.
What the...
Which has no relation to Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
What the heck is happening?
Super,
here?
Super confusing. So basically, this is a Mana game.
Okay, okay.
It's fun.
Wait, did you say it's fun or it's fine?
It's fun.
Oh, fun. Okay.
And
it's like, man, it's a buildup for it to just be fine.
In very, very loose terms, it's definitely doesn't show its age well. It's a gamble game.
Yeah.
And there are massive restrictions that it can't do.
Yeah.
But it's basically a Zelda 1 clone, essentially.
Oh, okay.
It plays like that. What I will say what does really well for it is the music. It's you heard the opening song and stuff to it. It's really good. And each castle level and forest has their own very unique sound. I'm like, oh, this is different from what I'm normally expecting from JRPGs.
Okay.
And it's I think it's a pretty short game too, so I'm like halfway through it and I'll pick away at it as I go. But the real other one that I really played was The Secret of Mana.
Oh yeah.
Which is the SNES one. And I never played this one before, don't know why. Started it up and it's great.
Yeah.
It's I will say I don't know. I kind of like it, the combat, more so than the turn-based. Because turn-based is very hit and miss for me. Because
this one, you have, like, free movement, and you can just, like, hack and slash.
Yeah, it's like an action RPG kind of style. But it's weird. You have a stamina bar. And if your stamina bar, you swing your sword, your stamina bar drops from 100 down to, like, say, 40. Mm-hmm. And then it charges back up to 100.
Yeah.
If you don't have that charge up to 100 and you attack an enemy, you'll do, like, very little damage.
Yeah, you do just like normal damage.
I would even say less than normal damage.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because there were times where I would hit an enemy at like 50% or 60 or 70, and I would do like 5 or 6.
Okay.
And then once it charged up to 100, I would do like 22, 25, 26.
Oh, okay.
And it would stun them too. If I had like a lower stamina bar, they wouldn't really be phased by it, and they would just hit me right away. I'm like, oh, this is weird.
Gotcha.
So I'm assuming once I level up more, that maybe that bar charges up faster and or I get abilities to make me able to attack more. But at this point, I'm just like hitting, backing away, charge, swinging, running back, circling around them, hitting, circling around them and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's fun. There was a point that I just beat. I beat a mini boss where I had to save this girl, Prim, and she was kidnapped by two like street fighting wolves.
Oh, geez.
They had like boxing gloves and oh my God, these guys were hard.
Oh,
like if they like charge up and then run at you and if they corner you or get you any place in the square arena you're in, they double team you.
Oh, that's
so they one punches and then one will punch and then there'll be a delay and then you'll get hit again and then you'll lose 20 again and then you'll lose 20 again.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a weird delay once they punch and your character reacting to it, but you're basically screwed because they'll do like 80 damage to you.
Jeez.
And I'm like, it took me like 20 tries to beat them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Really? I could have like leveled up more probably.
Yeah.
That probably would have helped, honestly.
Probably what happened here.
But I did it. We're good. And then I saved and I stopped playing.
Oh,
but
you saved. Okay, good.
Yeah, I saved. I did, luckily. The one time.
Oh,
but overall, I'm hopefully going to play it or finish it within the next coming week.
Nice.
If I'm not tired from work, and I'll just jump into it in the weekend and play it. But so good.
Nice. Yeah, because I think The Secret of Mana, I think I'm thinking of the right one, was also, I think, what you could play on the Vita, I think, as well.
Oh.
And I think, actually, now that I think about it, I think there actually are trophies for it, because I want to say there that I go. Think it's on the PS4 too, maybe now. But
oh, yeah, I think Collection is.
Yeah. maybe I'll look later, but yeah, so anyways, it's like, yeah, you I think you can play this on the PS4. Originally I think it was mainly on the Vita, and then there was a weird thing in there that I think I specifically remember where if you when you hit the PlayStation button on the Vita, it like pops out and it keeps your game progress wherever it's at and everything, right? You just like,
it's great,
jump back into it, quick resume. It's, yeah, super awesome. There was one of the weird things for this game where if you jump out to that screen and it, you know, the game is paused, like totally paused. You don't have to worry about being hit and stuff. But when you go back in, the game clock has been going that whole time.
Oh.
So like if you just leave it like that and you jump back in, you know, you've been away for like a whole day. Like it says you've played for 24 and a half hours or whatever. So it's super annoying for that. But
it'd be like, Nathan, how many hours you put in this game? Oh, about like 350, you know.
No big deal. But yeah, so that I do remember, I think, that specifically from it. But yeah, I know that there is the Vita version that you can play that thing on, and maybe now the PS4 also. But it's a cool game, though.
It is.
I like the art style for that. It's
I like that old school. It is pixel, but it's almost like a weird, I don't know how to describe it, a weird take on the pixel art. It's much more colorful than what I'm used to playing in those older RPGs.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I mean, it's cool seeing like these old games like still be like playable and, mm-hmm. and still like kind of fun and stuff. I wanted to add in, I think, because when you mentioned the, like, you know, you're in it and you're just like, man, this is all I want to play kind of thing. In terms of like what I said like last week, I do get that feeling, but it's the initial like hype to jump into a game is what it's that barrier for me there.
So is that,
it's
like, FOMO kind of thing?
Probably kind of. Fear but of it's missing like out? It's like I've it's like the idea that I've already like missed the hype train to start on this game kind of thing, and so I'm just I'm less likely to start it up type of thing.
Okay.
So like, or I might start it up and just be like, I'm like 30 minutes in, I can change to something else kind of thing.
That's fair.
It's like once I'm into it, then I'm all good.
And right.
That's where it changes to like how like you play and stuff, because it's that initial where I'm just like, man, I could pick anything to play right now, and I have choice paralysis and all that stuff.
And to be fair to you, you have like 50 times the games I have, so
yeah, that's why I get choice paralysis and stuff. I'm just like, man, I could be playing anything right now, but let's buy this new thing and try this out for like 20 minutes, then I'll jump back into Cozy Grove, you know.
There you go.
So don't go into the games that I've played. Cozy Grove obviously is one of them. Which is why I just said it. I've realized that it's not game of the year, no thanks. I'm on day 63, I think, now, in terms of like, you know, each time you log in on it or you start it up on a different day, it counts the days like forward and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm what, 27 days away from that silver trophy for 90 days. But being 63 days in, I know that I play this for at least like a half hour each sitting, and I've like looked at that time wise and stuff. I've put in a lot of time on this game, apparently.
Yep.
Like I've put in, I think if that math is right, probably close to like, what is that, oh man, quick math, 60, if you times it by 2, then it's 30. So then yeah, I've put in like over 30 hours into this game.
Impressive.
Which is impressive, and I hadn't thought about it too much until recently, and I was just like, wow, this is probably the game I've played the most this year by far, which is weird to think about. Because it's not like I am ever like super like grabbed by this and I'm just like, I gotta know what's happening next to this Jeremy Gruffle over here bear. But it's like, obviously I know the characters in these things now, and I'm just like, well, yeah, it's like I want to see what happens.
Yep.
But also like I'm just feeding animals and
chilling,
catching some fish and stuff, and I'm doing life. It at this point because I'm just like, I'm just on my way to 90, you know, and I'm just like, well, I'm gonna get there, so might as well just keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And then when I have that choice paralysis, I'm like, well, I'm kind of tired to start something, I'll just jump
into Cozy Grove. 100%. It's funny because I, with Animal Crossing, similar situation, I would put in those, like, initially I would put in more hours because you have to build things up.
Yeah.
But it would put in those 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever. And I got to like 180 hours overall.
Dang.
Amanda, yeah. My sister still plays it.
Yeah.
And she puts in like 30 minutes at a time, like every day. And she's like near 300, 400 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. These games aren't meant, they're not meant to be played long term or like in one sitting.
Oh, yeah.
They just grab you. Like, Mm-hmm. We just need a little bit of your time each day, and we're good.
Yeah, yeah. Does it still? Because I've never played the Animal Crossing games, but I've heard that some of the older games, like if you didn't play for a while and you went back on, there'd be like cobwebs and
yep,
things.
Yeah, there'd be cockroaches, weeds.
Oh my god!
Your residents will be like, "Where have you been? We haven't seen you in since the last time you played," which would be like 2 years.
Oh my gosh. That's a terrifying yeah. thought. Person NPC is like, "We haven't seen you in 2 years." I'm like, oh my gosh, yep. Geez.
Your island will be destroyed. It'd be yeah, for it's real. Terrible.
Those things are on fire. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm glad Cozy Grove doesn't do stuff like that, because when I pop back in, it's just like, oh, help me find these amps over here. And I'm just like, all right, whatever, I'll yeah. do this. But yeah, weird little stuff. I'm just slowly chipping away. I think I'm at like 70-something% of the trophies, which beautiful, I'm just man. Like, I'm now that I've kind of gotten some perspective to take a step back, I'm just like kind of mind blown that I'm this far into this thing. But I'm just like, well, now that I'm at this point, I might as well try and get everything. And I'm just like, it's going to take forever, though. It's going to take forever.
Bigger question. Do you think, I'm pretty sure I already know the answer to this. Do you think after you, if you do platinum it or whatever,
yeah,
do you think that will be like, I'm done, no more playing of this?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Like at this point, like that is what I am working towards, where I'm like, I'm so close, kind of, not really, but kind of. So at this point I'm like, man, I just need to platinum this game, because then I can just throw it away in terms of like my brain space, not like literally, but I'm just like, I just gotta finish it, you know, I gotta do all these things, and it's just gonna take a long time for that. But
if they, it'd be funny if they like keep coming out with like new updates and it adds trophies to the list.
Oh my gosh, that would actually be the worst thing ever. So that would be in terms of like the stuff that they have been adding in, I'm actually like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. Now they're in like a summer update kind of thing. So I'll pop on, and you know, obviously with the summer update they added in the bug catching option and stuff, so just another thing you can collect and sell for coins and whatnot. But also too, now whenever I log in and just kind of like am walking around at nighttime and stuff, because the clock inside the game will actually change the, you know, the daytime and nighttime in the game itself too.
Yep.
So, and it's like real time, like mm-hmm. Animal Crossing. So, you know, if I'm playing at nighttime, which I usually do, I'll be walking around and then suddenly just like fireworks will start going off. And I'm just like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get any sound or anything, but it's just like, you know, just start to see the sparkles and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's a fun little summer thing. But, you know, other than that, it's like a couple of the trophies are you play in each of the four seasons. So it's like I've played in the spring when it first came out, and then finally reached summer. I did it like the legit way, because I'm playing in real time.
Yes.
Because people who have gotten the trophy clearly did the
skipping,
save skipping and whatnot. But I'm just like, okay, well, I'm probably going to reach the 90 days maybe by the time we hit like fall kind of thing. I don't know exactly when things turn to fall and winter and whatnot, but I'm going to be done with that before I hit winter for sure. Probably. And I'm just like, man, there's so many things I have to do in this still. And I just got to keep on moving. I got to not think about it and just get this platinum, and then I can be done, you know?
It's so good to hear. I know it's very small, but it's good to see that you're slightly enjoying a slice of life.
Yeah. And it's content. I enjoy parts of it for sure.
Yeah.
There's other parts where I'm just like, I don't really care about this.
Right.
I don't really need to catch bugs anymore. There's some annoying bugs that follow you and I'm just like, go away. I don't want to catch you right now. But yeah, it's fun with certain things. And then occasionally I'll come across an interesting part of the story with talking with these bear spirits. Mm-hmm. And I think one of them right now was he's a male post-mail bear or whatever like that.
Post-mail bear.
Yeah, he runs the post office for these bear spirits. And coming across like I'm kind of towards the end of his story a little bit. I'm getting close to it at least. And as you kind of go through, like these bears don't always know what happened to them, or they're starting to remember slowly. And it's like, apparently from what, like the more recent stuff I just got from him was that, I think it's Patrice Furback or something like that is what her name is, I think. But I think it sounds like she was in some kind of crazy like accident or something, and basically like died and whatnot.
Wow.
And it happened when she was supposed to be on like shift or something at work, because all of her like coworkers, it sounds like, died also.
Oh my god.
And I'm just like, whoa, man, this is pretty dark and yeah, it's crazy sad. But yeah, I'm just like, wow, there's some interesting like kind of like stories going on in here. But if you're not paying attention to it, you just totally like go by and just like it looks all happy and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, huh, it's a weird game. You know, it's a weird game.
Sounds like a good game.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I would give it a solid between good to great, probably.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
We'll go there. Obviously, as I've been playing it so much, I can't say that it's, you know, lower than that.
Yes, 30 hours
in. Crazy to still be 30-something hours in at this point. Besides that, I know the other night I started up, what's it called? Quantum Break.
Oh, wow. That's an obscure one.
Very obscure, right? I mean, from Remedy and everything, but it's an old game, like 2016 or something like that, maybe.
Didn't you slightly play it before? Because I feel like I remember watching you play some of it.
No, so I'd actually never started this game up before. I've started up Control before, and Alan Wake. You might be thinking of Alan Wake.
Might be maybe. Alan Wake.
Because I did beat Alan Wake a long time ago, but... Quantum Break, I had never started up until yesterday, and I started it, and I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool, pretty crazy. I'm like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty lost on some of the things going on here, but it's interesting. Weird, like, realization, though, because, like, one, I knew that your main character, I've seen him in other things, I think he's, what, like, Iceman from the X-Men or something? I didn't know that the, you know, your best friend in this game and I think going towards being like the quote unquote bad guy type of thing. I didn't know he is Littlefinger
from Game of Thrones.
So I was like, that's weird. Also though, did not know that your character had a brother and your brother is, I think, Mary from Lord of the Rings.
Really?
And I was like thrown off so bad.
Because
Pippin was the dumb one, right? Am I thinking of the right thing? There's Pippin and Mary.
Yeah,
and I
think Pippin was the one in Lost? The dumb one.
Which one?
Who was the one that was in Lost as well?
Because one of them was in Lost.
I don't either, but continue. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm saying the right person. I think it was Mary. Because am I thinking the right thing? Oh no. Hold on a second.
Pippin was the one that sang at the end, or the third one that had the really good voice.
Okay, my mistake. No, yeah, so then I said, so yeah, Mary is the right one then. So Mary, he's kind of the more like serious one of the two, basically. Let me see here. Yeah, it's definitely Mary.
Okay.
So Mary, yeah, it's weird to see him. Obviously, he doesn't have the long, like, curly hair and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of like shaved head, or like short hair, I should say. But seeing him, because these characters look like their actor counterparts and whatnot, seeing him in there, I was like, why do you look so familiar? And I was freaking out for a bit. I was like, who is this? And I was like, oh my gosh, it's Mary. What the heck is happening here? But kind of going through this so far, it's interesting kind of seeing your character get his like time control powers and stuff. And
I forgot it was a time control
stuff. Yeah, it's got all to do with like the opening part of the game is pretty crazy, where you essentially like break time. And I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, I'm not going to lie. But I'm interested to kind of see where this kind of thing goes, because after just starting it, I was like, huh, you kind of got me hooked pretty quick in here, which is nice.
There you go.
I played a little bit of Morrowind recently this past week. Man, that game already. You know,
game of the year every year.
I'm playing the Game of the Year edition, so it can't be a lie, you know?
It can't be.
I've been playing some of that.
Where do they get that from? Like, I know games do that. Like, who assigns this?
I have no idea. Because there was a Naughty Bear Game of the Year edition. And I'm just like, all right, guys, you ain't never been Game of the Year.
Yeah, this is not, maybe some Joe Schmo on the street, maybe.
Yeah, for real. But I played a little bit of Morrowind this past week. I think I am like level 3 right now or something, which, you know, very low. But if you know how Morrowind plays, maybe very high in the very beginning. You know what I'm saying? Aside from that, though, I had started maybe like 30 minutes before. Finally actually jumped into Scarlet Nexus, and
nice.
That is where we're going back to what I said earlier, the dream and drive, Michael. This game is awesome.
Is it? Nice.
It's so freaking good. So Dream and Drive is the name of the opening song that plays for this game. Okay. Once you finally reach past that prologue.
That would make sense.
Oh man. So one great song. That's an amazing song. I have that now on my iPod. I have it on my phone now. And I've just like listen to it kind of like just on repeat over and over again kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Weird, like the band name, kind of a sucky band name. It's called, and that's probably actually a bad pun now that I think about it. They're called the Oral Cigarettes, I think.
Oof.
And I'm just like, that's a bad band name.
I'm hopefully that has some meaning to them and they didn't just make it up
probably,
on the spot.
Probably, because also I'm like, there's no other type of cigarette that's not oral, guys, just so you're aware.
Oh, I didn't even put those two together. Wow.
Right? And I'm just like, all right, come on, guys. But like the song, fire, right? Also just the regular music of this game, super fire. It's just like this super really fire. Cool, like jazz synthy kind of music and stuff. And I'm just like, great. Michael would like this a lot. Feels kind of like Persona in terms of like going through and just like listening to these like songs as you're walking through the game and stuff. Really cool though. So I remember hearing people talk about how like there's way too many characters thrown in and stuff. As I started playing, I was like, there's a lot of characters, but it's an anime. So it's like, I get it. Like I'm in this world where I'm like, nah, I get it.
You sold me.
in the beginning of this, like if, you know, when you first start watching, I'm going to throw back to like maybe one of the first animes that I actually like watched, like Naruto, when you first start seeing all the characters in there and they introduce like 20 characters in the first like several episodes, you get it pretty quick. Like once you've kind of gotten past that first time that this happened to you, then you're like, okay, like I'm learning these characters pretty quickly here. I know about, like, you know, my best friend over here and what's it called? Nagi is like your good friend. Mm-hmm. And then you have like your childhood best friend girl who's really cool. I think Hibari, I think is her name or something, or Hikari, and something means like light kind of thing.
Guarantee she won't win.
Yeah,
again.
And she and just like classic anime, Michael, she likes the main character. Main character it's has
oblivious.
No idea.
One trope I hate the most.
Along with that, though, there's this, you know, you either pick the boy character or the girl character, and they're actually both characters in the game, so it's not like you choose to be a male or female. Mm-hmm. It's like you choose one of the two main characters to do the path for, kind of like Tales of Exilia.
Right? Oh, okay. Yep.
So I chose the main guy, Yuito, and then I forget what the girl's name is, because I've honestly, it starts with a K, and I wanted to say Karen, but it's not Karen.
So Calorie.
It's something else. Maybe Karin? Something like that? I don't know. But your main character, right, like, you know, has a childhood friend. She likes him. He doesn't know about it. She's kind of throwing out subtle hints and things. He still doesn't know about it. She gets mad at him sometimes for not knowing about
Understandably,
it.
Understandably, man.
Then, though, another twist. The main girl character that you could choose, she has a sister. I should say your best friend, your guy friend Nagi, he likes the sister. The sister clearly has a thing for your character.
Oh, an annoying triangle trope. I hate that.
I know,
too.
It's so funny.
You're not selling me on this game, man.
It's so funny though. But this sister character, so cute. Like, she's really cool. Like, mm-hmm. I like her a lot. She's very just like bubbly and happy and stuff, which matches her, or I should say like balances her sister's personality, which is very just like cutthroat, like straight to
dry
the point kind of thing.
Yeah.
Dry. Yeah. The main girl looks like a character that apparently saved the main guy character when he was a child kind of thing. So he's like weird, not attracted to her, but he's like, it's weird that she reminds me of this girl that, you know, brought me along the path that I am now, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to, like, figure out, like, why, what's this connection with this kind of thing, right? But it's not, like, a romance kind of game. Nice thing is there are these, like, almost kind of, like, social links between characters. So in between regular, like, acts or episodes and stuff, there are these, like, standby phases where then you go and talk to characters, develop these bonds via bond episodes, and then as you kind of like grow your bonds with these characters, you can actually use better abilities and things during combat and stuff with them.
Ooh.
So very Persona-y kind of vibes in there, which is cool. But man, yeah, just like the whole like mixture of all these things, like the cool characters, the soundtrack, which is really cool. The combat's really fun and like visceral feeling. And then this super awesome opening song that just like, man, it's so cool.
I love this.
It's really like hooked me in this game. So probably instead of going back to Quantum Break, I'm going to go back to this game and keep on like playing and stuff. Cause now that I'm in it, I'm like, I got to go through and see it through.
I think this is a game I've been looking at and I've been tempted to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I might actually buy it from
yeah,
all that. But I think if you like Scarlet Nexus,
yeah.
I think a game that you would really like in the same vein is Astral Chain.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I have Astral Train. I just never started.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just, it's one of those things too. I'm just like, yeah, I use
Why
the...
Why did I expect that you didn't have this already?
I used the one of the vouchers a long time ago for it. So like when it first came out, I was like, I'm ready. And I just never started it. I'm just of like, course. Dang it. So it's there. I just have to play it. But yeah, that's what I've heard too, is it's kind of similar to that. Mm-hmm. But I like the anime aspect of this whole, I was going to say Astral Chain, Scarlet Nexus. So that's what's kind of keeping me in. And then lately, I'm not going to spoil anything, but something pretty like out of the blue happened. And I'm just like, whoa. Now I'm like, I need to know what happens next, because there's some crazy things that just happened. And I'm like, I did not see this coming at all. And let's see where this goes from here.
Childhood friend better not die.
I'm not going to say anything about what's happening.
Okay.
You go find out, Michael. Everybody else who hasn't played this game, go find out, because it's really cool and really crazy. But yeah, I've been playing that, and it's a lot of fun, Michael.
Nice.
Yeah. I think I am only like just under 6 hours in, I think, so far. I think when I was looking at my saves the other night, I saw that when I was level, we'll say like 6 or 7 or something like that, I was at like the 3 hour mark, and then somehow in like 2 hours I reached like level 16.
Oh wow.
I don't know how that happens. So like I think it's like once you start to really like go through and you're doing a lot of like missions and stuff, you can level up pretty quickly and it's not a big deal.
Right.
They do have a cool skill tree kind of thing inside there too, which I like. So each time you level up, you gain these skill points basically, which you can kind of use to fill out your tree and get more combos and like, you know, buffs to your attack and things like that. So a lot of cool stuff there.
I'm looking at a video now of it, and I didn't realize that you can just like wander like Tokyo or wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wander this you know, neopunk city kind of thing.
I'm gonna buy this game.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. It's really cool. I think you should do it. I think that was that's pretty much what I've been playing though.
I did want to ask you, because I saw you on the Switch. You tried Stories.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, I should actually mention that. So I did try out the demo for Monster Hunter Stories 2.
Oh, it was the demo.
It was the demo, yeah.
Because I saw you were playing. I'm like, oh, Nathan bought it. Yeah.
I think based on the demo, I am going to buy it.
Oh, really?
And the nice thing, too, I should mention now, Michael. Maybe I should have mentioned it. It might steer you away from Scarlet Nexus. Right now, Amazon, the game is like $10 off.
Oh.
And it just came out like 2 days ago. So if you want to buy it, it's on sale right now. And I'm just like, it's crazy that it's on sale. But
I was sold on Scarlet Nexus.
Yeah, I know, man. That's why I'm just like, I hate to see it. But it's really cool that like this thing is just like randomly on sale and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, all right, something's going on where like Amazon's not seeing enough pre-order sales, maybe. And so they're just like, well, let's put this thing on sale and we'll get a lot of people to buy it.
They did that. Did you see, it's a super side tangent. Mm-hmm. Wario64 posted on Twitter in the morning, I think it was yesterday, on GameStop, they were selling the remake of Link's Awakening for $17.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty
wild. I went online and it was already sold out.
Of course, yeah.
I'm like, dang it, if I would have sold this earlier.
Jeez, was that an online only offer kind of thing?
I think it might have been. I think people were saying it was an error by GameStop, but people were still buying it, getting it for $17.
That's why. Yeah, if it's an error on their side, they honor it if people have already bought it, kind of thing, which, yeah, I mean, I guess that works and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how that can kind of happen. But yeah, I think that's on sale for 10 off. And I think also Monster Hunter Rise is on sale too. So if people wanted to get either of those games, it's like $49.94 right now or something.
Yeah, both and play at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Just side by side. Man, I'm gonna get this game. I'm gonna go help Coco. You know
there
what I'm
you
saying?
Go help Coco.
Go help Coco. Somebody help. Oh my gosh.
One of my least favorite Greg things.
Oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite in recent.
Did you
memory.
See it was all, I think it was for the in review for Baby Driver. Greg was on something.
I don't think I
was. He was they were talking about something and then he started laughing to himself, and then he was like, "It's Grover, like from like Sesame Street, the blue puppet."
Oh my gosh, is that what the Grover bit came
from? Yeah, literally. And then he started losing it, like Grover was there, and then they went on, and then he started laughing again, like wheezing laughing, and he's like, "I just saw Grover on the couch, and he walked towards me onto my lap." I'm like, "What is going on, Grave? I'll show you it after because it's hilarious."
Dang, okay, I'm gonna have to watch. I'll probably have to watch this Baby Daddy review, or what's it called, Baby Driver?
Baby Driver.
Baby Daddy.
By the same guy who did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Oh,
Edgar Wright.
Oh my god, that shocked you so much.
Caught me off guard there. I didn't realize. It's the Shaun of the Dead people. Oh my gosh, jeez. I got so surprised I got spit caught in my throat.
There you go.
Well, yeah, now I'm going to have to watch that thing and see how mm-hmm. that goes. I was curious about seeing Baby Driver when I first heard about it. Because mm-hmm. I didn't know it was like... Because, oh shoot, what is it? It's like he always has like headphones in, but he can read people's lips super fast or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I remember that being something there. And I was like, that's kind of cool. I like that kind of thing there. But yeah, I'll have to watch this review now
it's
to
see how hilarious.
It goes. Oh my gosh. It's the one that I keep thinking of. We're just talking about Greg moments here. The one I keep thinking Greg-isms. Of is the what's called like other recent memory besides the Coco thing is the Captain America Winter Soldier. What's it called? What do they call that? The MCU in review. The part in the very beginning when he starts to talk about the plot, and he talks about how like you know like the. I forget how exactly he opens it, but it's like one of the very first things that he says is like, you know, like, let me tell you, this white boy can run. Okay. For some reason, it was the funniest thing ever.
I think the thing with Greg, some of the things he says aren't funny in themselves.
Yeah.
But the fact that he loses it at his own jokes and he like wheezes just makes it that much better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. It's all about delivery. You know what I'm saying?
It Michael? Is, 100%.
Oh, man. Well... Yeah, I think that's pretty much it as far as kind of like games besides... Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, I played a little bit of the demo. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. The combat system is like a interesting like rock, paper, scissors kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Where, you know, you have power attacks, speed attacks, and technique attacks. There's not really a huge... I don't think there's a huge difference in terms of like which one you choose. It's really just about which one your opponent chooses kind of thing. So like we'll go with... You remember what Optinoths or whatever those things are, those big old dinosaur things, which thing. I just realized it on this game was spelled as like Optinoth. So it's like the herbivore ones, not the
full on T-Rex.
But it's like those ones that have like, you know, kind of spikes on them and stuff, and they run away from you in lots of
yes,
the world.
Yes.
I just realized that they had a T in like the beginning of their name. And I was like, that's weird. It's like, I thought it was Aponoth and it's like Aptanoth or something like that.
Interesting.
It's interesting. It threw me off. But Words. Like that's one of the first monsters that you fight against basically. And they're teaching you about the whole battle system and everything. And that one likes to use power attacks basically. So if it likes to use power attacks, you go and choose, I think, like a technique attack or something like that. And that will basically, you know, you win the rock, paper, scissors of the attack types and whatnot, and then you do more damage, or you do damage and the other guy doesn't do damage kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
There's also an interesting like battle system in there where the creatures have a line going towards who they're gonna attack. So if they're not attacking you, you don't really have to worry about what you use, but if they're attacking you, then you have to try and factor in that whole like rock, paper, scissors type of thing.
Right.
So it's interesting with that. But there was a really cool moment, and I assume they do this early on because they want to be like, hey, this is a cool battle system. let's show it off, right? There's this cool moment where you get to see like your character and another character working together, right? Like you guys both get on your monsties, like these mounts and whatnot.
Yep.
And then when you're both riding the mounts and you do this like, you know, in sync attack or whatever, it's like this crazy thing where it gets all like very like anime style attacks where, you know, like your partner like jumps up in the air or something and her monster or whatever starts shooting down like crazy like air blasts all over the place. And then you like are going in like a straight line towards the other monster. And then when the things like intersect or something, there's this gigantic like nuclear explosion.
What the freak, man.
And I'm just like, this is pretty cool. It's like hilarious. A Dragon Ball Z explosion, right. Basically. And I'm just like, this is crazy, but it looks really cool.
Capcom knows how to do their explosions.
yeah, they do, man. But yeah, it was fun to kind of see so far. Your character doesn't speak, so it's one of those type of things. But it's kind of like, it reminds me a little bit of like Zelda games, basically, where... You know, someone talks to you and you kind of look at them with a lot of determination and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was basically the gist of it.
Yep.
But I like it. I like it so far.
Nice.
So if it's still, you know, if I play some more of the demo and I'm still kind of hooked and this thing's still on sale, I'll probably grab it. So
that's what I like to hear.
Stuff there. now, Michael, since we're all through kind of just the regular parts of the podcast there, let's go ahead and go on a little side quest before we take off for the day.
All right. So this week, your quest or quiz is going to be, I called it, Do You Know the Video Game? So basically, I just took the plot of certain video games and just changed it. Not what the plot is, but how it's explained.
Okay. You're presenting it in an unfamiliar kind of way.
Yes, gotcha. An uncommon way. No multiple choice. You have to get it right on the spot.
Gosh darn it.
Pretty easy, though. You should. This might actually be the next 5 out of 5 you get.
Okay. Sonic won't be at the top anymore. Let's not jump ahead of ourselves here.
We all hope not, but it could be. Okay.
Okay.
So number one, a young boy who doesn't speak is lured into a dark area by a creepy old man who offers the boy a dangerous item to find a friend who may or may not have been kidnapped by another creepy old man.
Are we talking about, like, The Legend of Zelda?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
All right. I was like,
that was
like
a tester.
Take this sword as dangerous to go alone.
Exactly.
That's happening? Okay, yeah.
Okay. Number two. Someone who lives in the dark, fights in the dark, breathes in the dark, must fight off a threat with his dark techniques, such as choking again, and maybe some more choking, so that he can go back to enjoying his life in the dark.
What the?
I took very, very big liberties with this
one. Oh my gosh, yeah, what?
So I'll read again. Someone who lives in the dark, fights in the dark, breathes in the dark, must fight off a threat with his dark techniques, such as choking, and maybe some more choking, so that he can go back to enjoying his life in the dark.
All right, hold on.
I emphasized something there when I read it again.
Like, the dark? Is that what you're emphasizing? What you're saying?
Fights in the dark.
Fights in the dark? Okay. Because I was like, I have two possibilities in here.
I think I know which possibilities you have, probably.
Okay, I'm gonna go with. So that's where when we talk about like games themselves, like
it doesn't have to be an individual game, just
okay,
a series.
That's what I want to make sure because I'm like
not a specific individual game. I thought about that. I'm like, no, that's too much.
Yeah, I was like, this happens in all the games. Yeah. Then I'll just say it's like the Batman Arkham games.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You'd be incorrect.
Really?
Splinter Cell.
No way. Okay, that was my other thing because
I said I took very big liberties.
It's not about fighting in the dark.
I took
though.
Very big liberties.
All right, over here.
The fact you thought about it though.
All right. That's a lot of liberties.
Very big liberties.
Some missions you literally can't fight at all because they tell you not to hurt anybody in these things.
Number three.
All right, okay, let's go.
An underground criminal organization looks to cause trouble and make money, but one man who sings, dances, and sneaks porno magazines to little boys must stop him.
It's awful. Is it Yakuza games?
It is the Yakuza games. There's a mini mission where a little boy sees a vending machine that sells adult magazines.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, my parents won't buy it for me. And Kiryu's like, no, I'm not going to buy that for you. And the kid's like, please, please. And he's like, fine, you're growing up. It's hilarious.
So stupid.
Okay.
The dumb thing about that is, like, as long as the kid has money, he can buy it.
I don't think he had any money at the time either.
Oh, okay.
So I think that was another big thing. But still funny.
I was like, this dumb kid.
Okay. Number four. A girl who is trying to come to terms with herself finds out the world around her hates her and will try to kill her at every moment it can, while simultaneously, very kindly, offering her fruit.
Oh, the fruit is what threw me out here. What? So the world doesn't like her.
The world hates her and will try to kill her at every moment it can. But simultaneously, will very kindly offer her fruit.
Man.
What could it be?
Oh my gosh, okay. I like can't think of what this fruit thing is. Like, literally, the only thing that's popping up in my head is Crash Bandicoot, but it's clearly a he, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, I guess that would work, too.
Fruit?
Yep.
And it's a she?
And it's a she.
I mean, Lara Croft doesn't get fruit.
Nope. I will say you played this game. We both played this game.
Really? Okay. I'm trying to think. Okay. Are there any other descriptions you can add into this?
Nope.
Man, this
it's
is,
all you get.
It's awful. You say it's all I get, like I actually got something.
You did. You did.
A fruit. Yeah.
Yeah, the fruit helps a lot, if you think about it, once you hear the answer.
Yeah, I don't know if I can. If I can.
I can tell you the what fruit it is.
Yeah, what kind of
strawberry.
Strawberry. Oh my gosh, like Celeste?
See, that's why I left out the strawberry part. See?
That does not.
There you go.
That does not help.
There you go. You got it, though.
All right, okay.
Okay, number five. Greedy, overconfident friends who will be dragged to hell because of a gambling problem must now kill other residents of their town for a corrupt owner.
Wait, what?
I'll read it again.
Yeah.
Greedy, overconfident friends who will be dragged to hell because of a gambling problem must now kill other residents of their town for a corrupt owner.
Huh. This is not like Rain Bells for me either. Like some of these things in here remind me of other games, and then it just blocks out any other ability to think of something else. Like, you started talking about, like, you know, like then you have to like kill other people in this area. I'm just like, it sounds like Danganronpa or something, but it's not that. And it's like, what the heck?
It's an interesting pick.
What the? Okay, so friends with a gambling problem.
Yeah, gambling problem must now kill other residents of their town for a corrupt owner because of this of said gambling problem.
Huh. Honestly, can't think of a place that's a gambling problem in video games here.
So maybe the first one you pass on?
Yeah, I mean, man, I'm just going to throw something out there. I can't, like, when you said, like, friends who were doing this and, like, being dragged to hell, I'm like, that kind of sounds like, whatchamacallit, but it's not that. After Party is what I was thinking of.
Oh, like, yeah, we've never played that game.
Well, I've played it. That's why I'm just like, there's no actual, like, killing of people in there. So you're just drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, what the heck? Gambling problem.
Mm-hmm.
What games are you dragged to hell in? I don't understand.
Like, now, I don't think you should hone in on literally being dragged to hell, but it's essentially what happens. What would happen because of this gambling problem?
Wait, what? Now I'm more confused.
It's not like they're literally dragging. Not
physically going to.
Though, like, they are. They would be.
Okay.
But I just used dragging to hell. He doesn't say they don't.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I was thinking in terms of like they're being brought down.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't know, Michael. I don't know. I'm totally blanking.
Cuphead.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I was going to say, I don't know the plot to Cuphead.
You know the plot of Cuphead?
No.
It happens in the first, like, minute of the game. They show the...
Now I do remember the gambling thing.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, don't do it. Cuphead, yeah, we got to win again. And then they lost their souls, and they had to go out and kill other souls.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. Yeah, that was you have to collect the debts on...
other people.
Yeah, that's true. Although these things all seem bad.
Seem like I left bad out guys. The bad part.
That's why I'm like, oh, that was amazing. Because did you say friends? They have to kill their friends?
Nope, just other residents.
Other residents, gotcha. Okay, all right. Okay, fair enough.
All right, Sonic's still on top. All right.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's the Bros and Cousins podcast for this week, everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed kind of the shaking up of this thing, the dramen, as some people might call it, you know.
The dramen indeed.
As always, this has been, you know, a fun time talking about these things with you guys. But if you have any specific questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. Not if you're a spam bot, though.
Yeah, don't
write
do it that.
Because we'll just not listen to your email.
We'll laugh at the email, man.
We'll just laugh at your email and make fun of it on air, probably. But thanks again for coming by, and hope you guys come back next week. Like I said, I think we're probably going to be doing this on Sundays from now on. If things change, we'll try to figure out and let you guys know ahead of time. But probably what's going to end up happening. We'll just kind of see how timing works out for everybody. Yep. Also, though, if you enjoyed the new intro and outro music, sorry, I had to wait till the very end to do this part. that is by the very talented Harris Heller. He actually provides...
good friend to us.
Yeah, of course. He provides music, basically, copyright free. So he's got like a whole bunch of albums out there. A lot of them are really, really good bangers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you can just kind of use it for whatever things you want, like streams. Obviously, like we're kind of doing podcast music stuff, you know, just things to listen to if you're ever like in front of a camera and a microphone type of thing.
Yep.
Very cool. Very cool overall. And this is kind of one of his newer albums that just came out a few days ago, I think. So the album is called Groove, I believe. It's classified as like hi-fi. Although on iTunes, it's classified, I think, as like R&B and hip hop or something, which it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the song, I believe, is called Retrofuturism. It's a pretty cool one. I think it's like the second song of the album or something. But a lot of good stuff there. If you want to listen to more of his things, just check him out. He's on all over iTunes, all over different websites and stuff. You can find him all over the place. Harris Heller, very talented young man. Until next time, though, thanks for listening and play a lot of cool video games this week. You know what I'm saying?
Peace.
I thought you were going to say, I know what you're saying.
I was, but I got, oh, too late. I'm going to say peace.
All right. Cheers, everybody.